Okay, we're going to get started with recording the call. So it is Wednesday, February 8th, and we are actually going to be speaking this evening for the Global Village Fundraising Conference Call Series. We're going to speak specifically about thanking your supporters. So I don't know if anybody else joined the line, or right now it sounds like we just have a small group with Bonnie and Larry and Stan. Anybody else on the line? Okay, well, this will be it'll be an interesting conversation because I think Bonnie and Stan both have also been very engaged in multiple trips. So, but this evening we're focusing on the importance of acknowledging donors and also looking at kind of ways that we can keep donors engaged in learning more about Habitat and the projects that we've worked on it and that they've helped to support. And also talking about how to create a plan for acknowledging and appreciating your donors as you reach out and encourage them to be engaged in your trip. So we're actually going to Larry Galante is with us this evening, and Larry recently participated in a project in India, and he's also been on other trips before and has fundraised for those trips. And so I asked Larry to join us this evening to just share a little bit about, one, his approach to fundraising and how he's raised funds, not only for his Global Village trips, but he also was involved in a bike and build fundraising project for Habitat as well. So wanted to have him share a little bit about that experience and then also talk with us about how he's kept those donors engaged and thanked those donors. And Larry also recently was using our online tool, share.habitat, and so he probably has a little bit of feedback to share on that as well. So I'm going to let Larry share a little bit and then give you all a chance to ask some questions and then also possibly to share some from your experience as well. So, Larry, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, thanks for the introduction, Rev. So I'm Larry. I'm a Global Village team leader and also a participant. I just got back from India, as Rose said, and that one I was a participant. And I raised about $5,400, $5,400 through the share.habitat site. And so first what I was going to do is just go over some kind of overall stats that I found for my fundraising over the past few years, and then I'll go through how I went about them. So in the past 3 years, I've done fundraising for 3 trips and raised about $12,000 for Habitat. And so the most frequent donation amount that I would receive was $25. So it was a lot of small donors. And actually 95% of my donations came from individuals. And then 25% of donations were actually, I call them unsolicited, where I didn't do a direct ask, a direct email or phone call. It was just I was posting it to Facebook, and then people just donated because they saw it. And then out of all my donors, there was 165 donors that I had, and about 10% of them were repeat donors. So they donated for 2 or 3 of the trips. When I was going back through my records, it was actually really interesting to see that out of my repeat donors, 2/3 of them actually stepped up and increased their donation the second time, which is always a worry of mine about asking somebody again within like a year that they'll not donate or donate less, but it was actually the opposite, that they would donate more. So I'll go through the 3 fundraising campaigns I did, and just about my process and how I thanked them and kept them engaged. So the first trip was Bike and Build, that Rose mentioned. And Bike and Build is an organization that coordinates cross-country trips for 18 to 25-year-olds. And so you ride your bicycle across the country and raise money and build with different affordable housing organizations, and they're primarily Habitat. And so we would stop and build with Habitat affiliates across the country. So for that campaign, I just wrote letters and actually sent them through snail mail. and also did my thank yous that way too. I just printed, as soon as I got a donation, wrote a letter, printed it out, and sent it through the mail. But the biggest thing I did to recognize my donors is I set up a blog, and one section of the blog was all about my sponsors or my donors, and I set up different levels of engagement. So I had like super sponsors, significant sponsors, and then just sponsors based on how much they gave. And so the super sponsors were right at the top of the page with big photos. Significant sponsors were underneath that, and then sponsors underneath that with smaller photos. And in terms of just keeping my donors engaged throughout the summer, in the thank you letter, I told them the address of the blog, and then throughout the summer, I blogged and posted pictures, and just I did a lot of posts about the actual bills that I was on to show people where the money was going. And for my major donors, I think I set a level like 500 and up. I did postcards from the road. So I would buy a postcard at like the Grand Canyon or some other great site that we visited and then handwrote a postcard for them. That's just an extra thank you. So after Bike and Build, I did a global village trip to Guatemala this past April. And for that, I changed, instead of doing printed fundraising letters through the mail, I focused on just emails because that was a lot quicker, and donations could come in a lot quicker if they could just click the link and donate. And so I raised about $2,000 with that. And that was with the old Habitat fundraising site, if you guys used it at all. And then for those, I did my thank yous all through email as well. And then after the trip, what I did was I did these custom-made postcards. It was a picture of me, my whole team, and the family we built with on the front, and then a handwritten note on the back. And so I did that for my 45 donors. Just writing an extra little thank you, showing them that this was a family we worked with, told them a little bit about the family, just thank them again. And in terms of just follow-up and engagement, what I mostly did was just post my photos to Facebook because I was Facebook friends with most of my donors, so they could see how the bills went there.
Hey, Larry, just a quick question on the email field. How many people did you send that first appeal to?
So, for Guatemala?
Yeah.
So, for Guatemala, I sent the appeal to about 45 people. And I got about 30 donations.
Up to the second time
around. And that one was actually different than my other attempts because I did that at the more focused list of people that I knew had either volunteered with Habitat or just Habitat was in their heart in some kind of way. I kind of selectively picked my donors for that one.
Good. Okay.
I'm sorry, was there a question there? Or no?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. But for the Bike and Build, I did about 120 letters and got 45 donors.
Okay, good.
And usually I expect to get about a third of the people I send letters to actually go through and donate. And so my last fundraising attempt was for a global village trip to India, which was last month. And for that, I did emails as well, and I did about 250 emails. And so with all of these campaigns, I think the thing that helps me the most is that I go and personalize each email, so not just their name, but something in the beginning, the very first line of the email being like, it was great seeing you at that Christmas party, or how are the kids doing, or how's Charlottesville treating you? Something personal, just so it doesn't look like spam email, so they know I put a little bit more attention into it, a little more effort. So I personalized all of those emails. So I sent 250, and then I ended up with about 95 donors. and raised $5,400, and that was through Share.Habitat. And so Share.Habitat was great in that it notified you immediately of when you got a donation. And so then I just, and it said, I had a little link, thank them yourself, and it would link to their email address. So you could just click that link and write your own thank you email. So I did that for each one, an immediate thank you email. And then I also had a strategic Facebook thanking strategy. And just quickly, are you guys on Facebook?
Yes.
Yes?
Okay.
And Bonnie?
No, my husband is, and I'm considering doing it, but I haven't yet.
Okay. Good to know. So with Facebook, what I did was that every few days or every week, I would thank a group of five of my donors, but I would selectively choose, I would thank all of them eventually, but I would choose how I was grouping them based on my different social circles. So if I had five people that I knew from college donate over the course of a week or two, I would thank them all in one post so that it would be much more likely that any of my college friends would see it because they were friends with all of us. Just the way that Facebook works, if you have things that are going on with a few of your friends, it'll come up more in your newsfeed. So I did that kind of strategic thanking on Facebook. And then I haven't yet, since I just got back 2 weeks ago, but what I'm going to do as my post-trip thank yous are, again, custom-made postcards. And this time now there's a few websites and apps, mobile apps that you can use that make it really easy. So I'm going to use this one called touchnote.com where you just upload a photo you took and then you can customize all the postcards and then pay for postage and printing all right there. So you don't have to actually go to, what's it called? I don't know. You don't have to go print them or go to the post office. You can just do it all online. So I'm going to do that for everyone. I can get a mailing address from of my donors. And then in terms of my top donors, I bought these small paintings in India from just a little co-op, but they're mailable. So I'm going to mail those to people who donated. I think I set it at 300 and up. And then for follow-up and engagement for my India trip, I'm going to write a Facebook note and tag all of my donors and tell them how the trip went, post a link to a photo album so they can see pictures from the build, and then tell them a little bit about the family that we helped and how much money we ended up donating as a team to Habitat India. And so I wanted to...
Larry, I was just going to ask you, can you repeat the address? Is it touchnote.com?
Yes, touchnote.com.
Okay, and that's where you can create custom thank you postcards.
Yes, and there's also, if people have smartphones and they have the Instagram app, it's the same company. They make one called Postagram, and that's where you can do everything from your phone. So if you took a picture with your phone, you could even do it while you're at the build, send one or a few to, like, your top donors while you're there. And they would get it before you were even back.
Great. Okay, good.
That one's Postagram. And so I wanted to sum up my strategy or my secret sauce of fundraising in terms of what I've done for my campaigns is mostly I've been very inclusive, asking everyone I know, especially people who I might not have thought to ask, or I might not have felt comfortable, but I always see that it's the people you least expect to donate that end up donating or following through. So asking everyone, personalizing emails with at least their name and hopefully a personal note, then setting a deadline for when funds are due, and thanking them early and often. So.
And Larry, when you were doing your email appeals, at least for the last two, did you send kind of a reminder note saying, hey, I'm at this point in my goal, and if you hadn't had a chance to support me, check out my page? Or how did you do it? Did you do any kind of intentional follow-up?
I had intended to, but then it seemed to be going so well that I never got the chance to go back and do follow-up. Which I think I could have raised more if I did, but it was just really time intensive to do personal emails and personal follow-up, so I ended up not. But if I wasn't reaching my goal, then I would have sent some follow-up.
And did you do any thanking of individuals by phone?
No, I did not.
Okay.
And I think what I was hoping to accomplish with my Facebook thank yous was also a follow-up and reminder to people who I'd asked via email but were friends with on Facebook. Because every time I thanked someone, I would say how far I was in my fundraising goal and say that there's still room and time for people to donate with the link.
Mm-hmm. Good. I know I have a few questions for Larry, but I'm wondering, for those of you that are on the line, if you have any specific questions about, you know, how Larry kind of went about his fundraising and also just his intentional thank you and follow-up. And I'd also like to hear just from your experiences, too. One question I had for you, Larry, was just when you did send the follow-up and thank yous, you know, how many of your supporters actually responded, you know, and wanting to know more, or just, you know, thanking you for, you know, sharing the update? Or did you find that people were very interested in you know, seeing who the family was and learning more about the project?
Yeah, definitely for my Guatemala trip, people were really excited to get those postcards and just see what it was like and learn a little bit about the family. I remember getting a lot of positive response from that.
Good. How about those of you on the line? Any questions specifically for Larry, or just anything that you might want to share just from your experience? I know both, you know, Bonnie and Stan, you have had a lot of experience with trips, and just wondering if you've done in following up with donors.
On this, my wife and I just got back from Kenya, and my wife does most of the fundraising and sets up the Share Habitat, but we send out a lot of email letters and Facebook stuff. But what she did this time that I didn't think was going to catch at all, but it really did, what we ended up doing is we drew a stick figure on a piece of cardboard and put underneath the stick figure Y-O-U, and we named the stick figure you. And so when my wife sent out all the emails, letters for donations, she basically said, we're taking you with us on this trip. And she kept using the word you. And then when we got to Kenya, every single day we took out the piece of cardboard with you on it and took a photo of either the family or working on the foundation or something like that. And it got to be really funny because everybody on the bill knew who you was, and you just popped up everywhere on the bill. And then when we got back, we took a whole mess of these photos that we took that had the you stick figure and made up a collage of photos with a thank you letter and sent it back out to all of our donors. And we got a flood of replies back saying how cool that was. Like they felt that they were actually on the trip with us. So
that is very clever. It kind of have. Are any of you guys familiar with Flat Stanley?
Who?
There's a little story called Flat Stanley, and it's this little picture, and you send it off to somebody, and you ask them to take pictures of Flat Stanley, like in different places around. You know, so like my son did it for his school class, and we sent it to a colleague in Slovakia, and so they sent back all these pictures with Flat Stanley for him to share with his class. But that's kind of the same idea. I think this is very clever, really great idea.
It was really, it went over really well. And then, you know, we've heard from them saying, okay, where are we going to go next?
Where's you going next? Good.
So, and what we actually have done is we have sent out, when we got back, we said there's like, well, we were in Kenya, there's still like 30 more homes that need to be built in this IDP camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sent another letter out to all of our donors and some more people to see if we could raise enough money after the build to build another house. And we've only been back a couple of weeks, and I think we're up to, I don't know, $200 or $300. In additional donations.
Great.
We've never done that before. We've never said we've been so impressed with the bill and the need here that we really want to try and raise some more money. And one of the things is on this particular build, we had two people, Larry, who was the foreign bureau chief for the Associated Press that's traveled and lived all over the world, and Ann Cooper, who was a reporter for NPR internationally, and they were both, well, they've been on a couple trips with us, and so they set up a blog, a daily blog that went out, and so we linked that blog to the thank you letter and stuff so people could get on and read everything that happened every day, and that seemed to be a real big hit and helped with fundraising.
That's great. I read that blog. It was very well done.
Yeah.
It was really good to, and Larry and Ann are both team leaders now too. So it's,
yeah, they're taking a team to Vietnam. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There, we were in Sri Lanka with them, and we had a great time with them. And they were really, the writing that they did really helped. So it worked out real well. So that's what we just did in Kenya. Which
great
was,
idea. Very yeah. creative. I love it.
Yeah, very cool.
How about you, Bonnie? You know, I know you're working a lot with these college students, too. I'm sure that they've got some creative ways of being engaged and following up with people.
You might think, but honestly, no. They're all so busy and swamped with college. I was really shocked. I gave them, you know, as many tools as I could to help them fundraise for their own trip costs. And I would say last year, one out of 14 students raised their whole trip cost, and the other 13 did not. This year, that one who was returning raised about half of her trip cost, and then the rest of hers plus everybody else again, check for mom and dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They did, we got a supply of jewelry from El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
They were selling that on campus prior to Christmas, so some of them did earn a little bit of money that way, which they were putting towards there. But no, truly, they're so swamped with their studies, they really haven't latched on to anything much in the way of fundraising.
Yeah, it's hard too. I think sometimes, you know, I think with the student groups, some of them do well with, you know, kind of the group activities to be able to try to pull resources and try to raise that way. But I know that many of the college students some of them have done like the letter writing campaigns or the Share Dot Habitat or the old fundraising pages that were active too. But I think you're right. It is challenging. Oftentimes they're very busy with their studies too.
Anybody out there have any special recommendations on how you advise, like if you have high school students, like 17-year-olds and 16-year-olds, is there anything specific that you could gear them to as far as fundraising besides their aunts and their uncles?
I do think part of it is, you know, reaching out to the network, you know, the family network for sure. But I do think, you know, some of the students have been really effective with the work-a-thon ideas where, you know, they, you know, babysit for, you know, for for donations or do other kinds of things, reaching out to kind of neighbors or a broader network. I know that, you know, some have actually, you know, worked to kind of organize the yard sale ideas and networking with friends to do that. I don't know, Larry, I know you worked a lot with youth too. And I'm just kind of curious if you have some ideas from what some of the, you know, campus chapter groups had done or student groups for Clete Challenge.
I'm trying to think. I know the other did rake-a-thons where they would rake people's yards for donations. Some people tried to organize, like you said, babysitting, or like kind of like a group thing. They organized like a date night so that a bunch of parents could go out, have their own evenings, and then all the kids would come, get dropped off at the school, and a bunch of the campus chapter members would watch after them for donations. I'm trying to think of other things.
I think, too, like outside of the family network, too, is if they're involved in other activities or you know, engaged in church, you know, being able to do a presentation or look at doing some outreach to some clubs as well. You know, we also find that people have had good success with, you know, making a presentation, especially like to a Rotary or Lions, which really like to support youth in activities and have been, you know, successful in gaining donations that way as well. I mean, I think the key is reaching out to their most immediate network, but also just looking at sort of what are the other things that they're involved in beyond, you know, school. Looking at church, looking at other activities that they might be engaged in, where there's the potential to have donors support them.
Yeah, our daughter went to Thailand with Valparaiso University. Gosh, that's probably been now 6 years or so ago. She held a Thai dinner at church and just asked for free will donations. And she was basically trying to raise, I think it was about $2,000 for herself, and she ended up raising $5,000, paid not only her trip fee, but that of basically 1.5 other students on the trip. So church can really be great, especially if that the young person is putting some elbow grease into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I also, like, we had a group of youth that was involved in raising some funds to go to Armenia. I want to say, like, half the group was, like, high school students. And they put on this, like, fantastic, like, spaghetti dinner where they were able to get a bunch of donations and then recruited just a network of people to help them pull it off. And they also did a silent donation. So they did engage kind of the broader church community in helping them, but they were extremely successful in just doing some, you know, smaller fundraising events, but they really did. They put in the elbow grease and really, you know, reached out to get others to support them. So, I mean, I definitely think it is possible for young people to do more than just kind of reaching out to their most immediate family, friends, network. Yeah, I'm just curious if there's any other thoughts. I know, you know, it's one of the questions that we had last week that we were addressing a little bit was just the concern of kind of going back to the same donors. And Larry, you had mentioned, I was kind of surprised by your statistic that really only, was it at 10% or was it 15% of your donors actually gave a second or third time?
It was 10%, but that it's hard to really get a grasp of it because I didn't ask all the same people for all three trips.
Right.
So just out of all of my donors, 10% of them were repeat.
Yeah. How about you, Stan? Like in what you did you find that you, was this, have you raised money before the Kenya trip?
We've raised on, I think we've been on 7 builds and we've raised, you know, money on every single build. I think our first one was when we went to El Salvador. We raised a lot of money. We had a lot of people donate, and we've always gone back to the same people and have added a few along the way. And most of them keep coming back. I would say 90% of them come back And
why do you think they come back? What is it about?
I think a lot of the people that we solicit like feel that we keep in touch with them with what we do. We go to every when we get done with a build, we take all of our photos and set up a slide presentation, and then we go to the library here in town and do a presentation every year. So in March we're scheduled to go to the library and do a presentation on Kenya. So most of our donors that have in town that have given show up, and they learn a lot about what we did and how we did, and they get emotional when they see some of these slides, and so they're ready to help out again. And I went to Thailand and did a test build for the Carter thing, and I spent an extra week, and I actually took a Thai cooking class, and I ended up doing a big Thai dinner and raised quite a bit of money doing that. I had a Thai dinner at my home where I had like 30 or 40 people show up and just left a basket on the counter, and they all opened up their checkbooks. And I think keeping them informed has really helped us. I think that's been a real big item to have people keep coming back. So
good. And have you had certain like higher level donors that you've done anything special for, or do you kind of have, are people giving primarily at the same level, or
most of them have been less than $100, except we had one couple when I lived in New Hampshire for a few years. All of a sudden this year they sent us a check for like $200 or $300, and we were just blown away. And one year what they ended up doing is they sent letters to all their friends and said, please don't give us anything for Christmas, donate money to Stan and Louise's habitat build. So,
wow, that's great.
Had stuff like that done. But they've all been, most of them have been less than $100, most of our donations. We were really worried this year because living in Vermont with the Irene hitting, most of Vermont was devastated, and our town got wiped out with a lot of devastation. So our fundraising was a little bit down this year, but we still had people give.
No, that's good to hear. Bonnie, with your students, do they do any kind of presentation at all at the school?
Last year we did do one after we got back, and it was mostly attended by the president of the university, some of the other administration people that kind of wanted to see what it was we did, because truthfully, they were a little reluctant to let us go. And then they were very pleased, and they were amazed at the level of enthusiasm and listening to the kids talk about, you know, how their lives really were transformed by the experience. So, they did a PowerPoint presentation and brought in all the souvenirs that they bought, and just kind of had like a punch and cookie reception sort of thing for people that wanted to hear more about it.
Has the school ever donated to their trip?
No.
Yeah, I know one of the things that we did when I was in university and we were trying to get funding to do a collegiate challenge trip was we, you know, looked at sort of that we, you know, pay the student activity fee, and so we actually put a proposal together for the administration and said that, you know, there's 15 of us that are participating in this charitable activity over our spring break, and we wanted to, you know, raise funds for, I don't know if it was like the gas and, you know, just, and we surprisingly were able to get a couple $1,000 from the university just by putting together a proposal, you know, as a student, as a group of students that were doing a service outreach trip. So I don't know. I mean, I would be curious.
There's like, I think there was close to a dozen spring break habitat trips this year. Now, ours is the only one that's international.
Right.
I think when you have the level of trips and service trips that university has, there's no way they can fund one because they're right behind it that would also have their hand out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to hear, though, that there's that many groups involved in doing some habitat builds in the spring break time frame.
They have a very strong habitat chapter on campus.
Well, Stan, I was happy to hear about your dinner party, too, because I think one of the things that, you know, just in ideas for thanking donors, you know, in addition to, you know, what Larry shared and what you guys have shared about just the personalized, you know, postcards or, you know, the photo collage or the handwritten, like, you know, this idea of throwing a party. And we also have one of the leaders that will probably join us on a future call. He's done a great job of kind of keeping his donor base informed and has led multiple teams. And about 75% of his donors contribute each year to his work. But he has kind of an annual birthday party in which he invites, you know, this crew of people that has supported him to come and celebrate. And it's also an opportunity for him to update on the project. And sometimes that's done as a fundraising event, and sometimes it's just really done as a thank you party. So I think it's really neat that you brought in the Thai dinner piece. We've also had some volunteers that have hosted kind of dinner parties post-trip to raise funds and share their story and have brought back, you know, things from the country. And I know, Larry, I think the idea of bringing back some gifts, some unique, you know, small tokens from the country for donors at higher levels is a great idea, too. So those are definitely some ideas that we've shared also in the fundraising guide for people. But I think the key is really, you know, thanking people and keeping them updated and sharing sort of what the progress is and how the money was spent so they have a sense of the impact that their donation has had on a community. And I think it is, you know, for many people, they're living vicariously through you. So, Stan, this idea of, you know, bringing the cardboard stick figure, you know, there are people that will never be that adventurous, that will never want to go and, you know, and work in Kenya in the hot sun and sweat and dig and, you know, do all the fun building things that we all enjoy. But they sure like the idea that they've been invited into your experience and that you're willing to share that. And so I think it's great and I think some of what you all have said is it's not hard to prepare for. It's not hard to prepare to, you know, get photos every day or keep a journal or a blog that can be shared with people, because I think people really appreciate knowing that the gift that they've given to you or to Habitat, it really meant something that you're willing to kind of keep them updated and informed. And I think that's what keeps people supporting you. So it's good to hear, Stan, that you had such interest post-trip also in just the work that you did. I don't really have you know, much more to add on the thanking, you know, besides, you know, just the idea of the updating and the just keeping it as personal as possible, but knowing that, you know, as you make it personal, it does take time to keep up the personal, the notes. And Larry, your ability to personalize so many emails out to people, I'm sure that did have an impact on people giving to you, because you didn't just send a general message, but you really did make it a personal appeal. So I don't know if anybody has any other ideas that they want to share or comments before we wrap up for the evening. I do want you to know, especially Stan, since I know you're going to be, you're in the midst of recruiting for your trip. We did this as kind of a five-part call series. We are going to be doing kind of another round of the call series that we'll be advertising actually out in our team leader notes as well as in our GV update to volunteers. But we're looking at probably starting again in around March 15th. We're going to stick with kind of the Thursday night call series, but we're going to also add another session to just focus on share.habitat and some of the resources available through share.habitat, and, you know, such as the Facebook connections and the easy updates and the blogging features. So we will be doing another six-part series, and people can join at any time, any call, and it's definitely open to your volunteers as a way to get ideas. And we are posting an updated fundraising guide probably within the next 2 weeks. It's just getting finalized now with the final edits and artists. So that will also be posted on the participant resources section. And I believe they just posted the first of our call series recordings, and we're getting the other ones recorded. But we will be doing live calls again starting March 15th, and we'll get that advertised as well. And so, you know, for those of you leading teams, you can definitely share that with your volunteers, and they're more than welcome to join us. So any other thoughts before we end for the evening? I just really want to, one, thank you, Larry, for joining and sharing just your experience and what you've done in your fundraising campaigns, and also Stan and Bonnie for just giving us your feedback and your experience. Stan, I would love it if you or your wife could send me just a little write-up on the, and I'd love to see the photo collage, if you wouldn't mind sending it to me.
Okay. Do I have your email?
I can just, it's just rmorgan@habitat.org.
I will do that. I'll actually have her send the letter that we did that has, I think, you
okay.
in it.
Okay, that would be great. That would be great. I'd love to donate and be a you on your next adventure. So so good.
You know, can you send that out to us on the call?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I can definitely send it. Bonnie, I believe I have you in the file and Larry, too, so I will forward it to you guys when I get
All right.
it.
I'll send you a couple of the letters that we sent out that have you
okay.
in it. So it's kind of
Super.
Funny. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks again, everybody, for joining. And thank you, Larry, for being our guest speaker. And, yeah, and best of luck to you, Bonnie, as you get ready to go shortly. I hope it's a wonderful experience for you and the students.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Take care.